Welcome to The Griff's short series on this year's mayoral candidates. Throughout this week, you will be hearing a few interviews done by our very own staff with candidates that agreed to let us share their interviews with you. Today, our assistant editor, Maya, shares her interview with Augustin Murat.
Thanks so much for agreeing to the interview. My first question for you is, why did you decide to run for mayor?
Okay, I owe a lot to Edmonton. Well, and to the whole of Canada. Mm-hmm. I came to Edmonton through the help of a Canadian teacher. Mm-hmm. This person went to Sierra Leone and we taught in the same high school. So by the time the teacher finished her two-year term in Sierra Leone, and she knew I was ambitious, I wanted to continue my studies. So she gave me the University of Alberta address, and I came here a year later. And because I had already done my teacher training, I had 4 years teacher training. I did of the 4 years, one of them was spent in Europe. I did 1 year in France at the University of Dijon, because I come from an English speaking country. So she helped me come here, and then the year I came, she actually went overseas and has never returned to Edmonton. She's been living elsewhere, yeah. But in my first year at university, a nonprofit, an Alberta-based nonprofit organization called the Camrose International Institute, they paid my tuition for my undergraduate studies. So I did my degree in 2 years. Mm. So by virtue of these kind of generosity that I got, or this type of generosity I got from Canadians, and people from Edmonton or from Alberta, I owe a lot to the city, because it has made the most significant difference in my life. And that's why I decided to run, so I can pay back the city of Edmonton in a very large way, because I'm a servant leader. I want to serve the people of Edmonton. Now, and I want to make this clear that even though I have my platform, I'm still listening to people. The best way is to listen to people. And being that I have been a teacher all my life, the people I'm listening to the most are the young people like you. Yeah. Why? Because the future belongs to you. Mm-hmm. And if I can get into one of my platform ideas, I'm one person who believes that, I think every mayor or leader who comes wants to create an atmosphere or situations where they can govern better. For me, I believe that if we have a think tank made up of young people, that is your energy, your technology, your vibrancy, combine it with the expertise of an old man like me, okay, and my experience, you can be like the people to advise the council. You do not have a place in council, but your position, whatever you come up with. All I'm saying is, I don't think we adults should make any decisions without bringing the youth at the table where we make those decisions. If we don't do that, you will be the biggest losers. And for me, I have children. I think it is the youth, the children, we should devote all our attention to. That's why climate is, changing climate is extremely important. Topics relating to the future are of vital importance, and especially to young people.
Yeah, and going off of that a little bit, how would you use your experience as an educator to help post-secondary students and Edmontonians in general?
Well, first of all, I'll be willing to sort of encourage students to learn. I know one thing that I have learned from experience: if we invest in ourselves when we are young, we become free. We have so much knowledge and experience by investing in ourselves that we can dream big, we can do anything we want to do within the limits of the law all the time, as long as we are not, obstructed by outside influences or whatever, whether it is people or drugs, be yourself. But if you invest in yourself, you have nothing to fear. So my emphasis will be on education and talking to the young people. I don't even mind, as a mayor, I would like to go from school to school, college to college, university to university, to answer your questions, so I can be in tune with what is happening. Most of my decisions will be based on what matters to the young people. Of course, we have to deal with the present, what affects our city, what is important to our city, but particularly what makes us a better people.
And if you're elected for mayor, what are some of the main goals that you'd like to accomplish for the city?
All right. Now, since I have not been in council, some of us are allowed to think outside the box, okay? Now, I know what the duties of the council of mayor are, but I also know as a leader has to think big, a leader has to think ahead, think of things that could happen to make where you are living become a much better place. So one of the first things that I have decided to do is to promote the idea that even though it is not a jurisdiction of the city of Edmonton only, but I as a leader can come up with ideas. For example, I believe that having a rapid rail between Edmonton and Calgary is one of the most important developments we can have. The two cities form the economic hub of Western Canada, and they are very important. So by facilitating communication between the two cities, we will not only create jobs during the construction of that rail, a rapid rail that will take us an hour, maybe only one stop in Red Deer. So it means the three cities will be joined. And within a very short time, people can go and come from Calgary to Calgary and do business. We will also encourage national, not only local tourism, national tourism, and international tourism. I lived in Europe. It's so easy to travel within Europe. It's incredible. Now, we have a very big country. Facilitating transportation will be the best thing to be at the par with other cities in the world.
Do you have plans for transportation within Edmonton as well?
I do have some. I'm happy with the way things, some of the things are going in with the LRT. I am not happy with the functioning of the rail to, to Nate. It's been, I think that should have been either overpass or underground. That would have been much better because it's really obstructing traffic now. And I know there's another new place which is good. People are going to be so frustrated. People who work in Sherwood Park or live in Sherwood Park to come and work in Edmonton. Or people who are beyond, I think it's Second Avenue and Bonnydoon Mall, okay? Anybody who lives east of the rail will be very frustrated going to work in the morning. So I believe that, and then the new rail going to the Western, if it were left to me, I would have suggested. I don't know how much money, I know lots of money has already been spent on the construction on Jasper. And by the way, I'm not happy, like it would change the face of Jasper Avenue. When it was left untouched, it was beautiful. Now, with the rail, I don't know. I mean, this is my opinion. If I were to decide that is in conjunction with what the majority will say, I would have taken the rail to the West End from the university farm. And there, it would have cost less in terms of money because very few houses would have been destroyed. I mean, crossing the river from the farm, there are no houses to destroy, okay, until you get to Laurier Heights, okay? And then maybe at along Laurier Heights, it could have been done alongside, I think, 87th Avenue, or is it 87th Avenue from Laurier Heights School, for example, and then just put the rail side by side with the road. That would have been better. So they don't have to destroy houses. All that would have made it much cheaper. But that's hypothesis now, or it's already probably too late for me to say anything, okay? Right. So, but I believe that the rail transport is also good for the environment because instead of driving within the city, more people will take the rail to go to work, to and from work. So I do support any extensions of the rail within the city of Edmonton, although I'm not happy with the one in Jasper at all.
And I saw in a video on your website that you said you'd be willing to take the city to new heights. And yes. I was just wondering, could you tell me what that would look like? What are your plans for that?
Well, one of them is the rail that I have suggested. And I also believe that we have to enlarge the business, the profile of Edmonton. I know Edmontonians are doing a lot of business. I had thought of an idea, which probably people think, well, the universities or the colleges are so different from the municipal administration. I was thinking we can invest a lot more in schools overseas, that is the universities, the colleges. We don't have to have all the students come to Canada, but we have a lot of technology. That is Alberta. Edmonton has a lot of technology. We have some of the most educated people, technologically advanced institutions in this country. We can export our knowledge and bring in money, but we also help the other people develop. But it's a win-win, and it's a win-win situation. Now, some people say, but it's not the city of Edmonton. The money won't come to the coffers of the city. But if the money comes to business people, that also helps improve the quality of life, or the business people can create more jobs. So, but apart from that, I believe that the rail is one of the most important things that I think we should embark on. Secondly, I believe in culture, in arts and music. Now, I have traveled around the world. I've been to Europe. I've been to cities in the United States. I believe that if we put some emphasis, if we invest in music, art and culture to boost, to increase the level of performance that you young people, instead of thinking of saying that, oh, I would rather go to Europe and live in this city because after work, I can go to any part of the city and then enjoy my life. I mean, live life to its maximum, okay? Whereas, say, let me take Quebec City, for example. If you go to Quebec City, there's a street called Grand Allée. They don't sleep at all. It's almost the equivalent of White Avenue, and especially in the summer, because I've been going to Quebec City since I came here, about 25 years. Okay, I've been doing that. And it's just a beautiful scenery to see people. Some go to work, others come from work, and they can have sleepless nights. The bars are open all night. The nightclubs are open. So when a young person is deciding, they are talented, but they think it is too boring to live in Edmonton. They want to go elsewhere. Why can't we build the infrastructure or the resources that will make people, the talented people like you, stay in Edmonton and maybe attract more people from outside who will not feel bored because it's too boring to live in a city that is isolated geographically or physically speaking. We are very far from the other major cities. It's not like when you go to the US or you go to Europe, all the big cities are in proximity with each other. So it's very easy to go from one city to another. So we need a better city. We need a better, we need better tourism attractions. And then going from that, I believe the River Valley, that's one of my, I love the pristine forest of the River Valley. I mean, and what I'm saying is most of us will never have the money to pay for tickets to go on cruise ships to the Bahamas and around the world or whatever. We have, God has given us a beautiful river valley and it has been maintained. We keep it. And then we can use what the French do. They have what they call bateau mouche in Paris. Tourists can be on the boats. Now, the Edmonton Queen is probably, I don't know what the causes are. Some people say it's too cumbersome. It's too big. So, and the river is probably not deep enough. Maybe we need to do something to have smaller boats. We ourselves can enjoy our own river. We will be our own tourists. And it, all I'm saying is it should be managed by the city, by Parks and Recreation. Okay? That way, if we don't, some people say, well, just give it to investors. Let them do something. But that might go out of hand. People might become greedy. But if the city manages it, I think it will be much, much better. Mm-hmm. Okay. So some of my ideas are all connected to the economy because I've been self-employed. I started a school on my own and that has helped me. It has opened my eyes. Hadn't I been in business, believe it or not, I would never have dared to say I want to be the mayor of Edmonton. But there's nothing about economy, raising funds or keeping your books in the black that somebody can tell me you don't know how to do this. I do know how to do it. And when it comes to management, yes, I have not been in council. But as I was telling you yesterday, I want Edmontonians to realize that, first of all, I have a postgraduate degree. It is the level of education that will allow me to interpret policy. I am able to do that. I'm a language teacher. I have 5 books. The one in yellow will be the one that I will publish during this campaign. Okay? So I have no problems with English. And therefore, somebody telling me that because you have not been in council, we should not elect you because, oh, these people have been there. They've been there. I don't deny. In fact, my last chapter or one of my chapters is on specialization. I do trust and believe in people having special knowledge. I mean, we have doctors who have specialization in every part of our body. We have people for our eyes, for our nose, or whatever it is, okay? So in like manner, in life, I believe that people who have been in council, yes, they do have some experience, but they did not come there without experience. They learned on the job, and I am capable of learning on the job. Others have done it. I would do it. People came from different backgrounds. I've been teaching social studies for more than 12 years, okay? And I've taught English and French for more than 20 years. So what else? Up to 30 years. So why wouldn't I be able to adapt or learn from what others have done as a person that other people have done? Why can't I do it? Why would somebody just say, oh, let's put those who were there. If we say, if Edmontonians really think that the only people that are fit to be mayors are those people who have been in council, then here is something I'm saying. And I want this point to be taken by everybody. In other words, if we say that only people who have been in council can become mayors, we might as well close our universities. Why? We will say, oh, we have enough doctors, we have enough engineers, we have enough lawyers, we have enough teachers. Oh, they will do the job better than us. Why are we training new engineers, teachers, lawyers, and doctors? Okay, we do not have to have the same people. And just because somebody has been in council for 8 years or for 4 years, doesn't make them a better leader. We think about what is leadership. First is character, okay? What type of person are you? Can you work with other people? As a teacher, I have interacted throughout my life. Even back in Sierra Leone, I lived in the Western world. I went to Catholic schools. I mean, went to secondary school, university. I was taught by foreigners, Canadians, Americans, British, and other people. So I'm used to working with other people from different cultures. And I came to a multicultural country. My children are biracial. And I have worked with teachers, not only in the public school, in the Catholic school, but even in a school that I created. I had teachers of all stripes, of different origins and different religions. So I can do that. I can work with people. That's one of my strengths. And I believe that is what is important about leadership. It's not the person who has been there because his face is familiar. I mean, let's use logic a little bit. Emotions are important. Oh, I like him. He's been there. We love him. Well, can you give a chance to other people? Let them show themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me show you what I'm able to do from my experience. Give me a chance. And that's what I'm asking of Edmontonians, to have an open mind instead of saying, well, he doesn't know anything, as if I don't know what I'm talking about. I have taught in the highest level of, I didn't do that by acclamation, it's by merit. Not only did I teach in university, I went to Ottawa, taught English to the Francophones at the civil service, and taught French to the English. I can do that. I've done that. You ask me a question in grammar, I'm not saying I know it all. In fact, that's one thing one should know. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. But people who do not know think they know it all. I don't have all the answers to life. And when you are a leader, you listen to other people. I don't make decisions unilaterally. I will tell people when I sit in council, ask everybody's opinion.
That's great.
I can make my own conclusions. That is what leadership is all about. But the most important thing is, are you a very rational human being? Are you very honest? Are you inspiring? Are you competent? Are you intelligent? Are you fair-minded? Okay? Are you supportive of other people's ideas? You don't bash other people. I believe we should all work together as, you know, as people, as Canadians. Because the important thing is the people we work for. We are not the people who should make decisions for others. To see a lot of, I mean, like 5 people or 6 people gather and say, oh, let's choose the front runners and then choose from one of them. How can 10 people or 5 people choose the leader for a city of more than 1 million people when the voters have yet to make up their mind? And we still have about 40 to 50% of people who haven't made up their mind. And I'm hoping that people will listen to reason, okay, to make sure that you choose the best leader, not because the person has been there for 10 years. For God's sake, say, is this person competent? What has he proven to mankind that he's able to do this or to do that? And when I talk about my experience, I only talk about my experience in Canada because that is what is relevant to people in Edmonton. But I started working even back in Africa. I worked as a liaison officer for the OAU, the Organization of African Unity. Today it's called African Union. So I'm a hard worker, and I think I'm smart enough to be able to work with other people.
I just have a few more questions about your platform. Yes. I noticed that you said you're concerned about the quality of life in Edmonton. So as mayor, what would you do to improve the quality of life for Edmontonians?
Okay. Now, we have to understand the difference between standard of living. Standard of living and quality of life. Quality of life is when you think about the individuals, okay? It is not, say, if somebody is rich, they can live a very good quality of life, okay? Or standard of life, because they have the money. They have worked hard. And one thing that I also know, because I've been in business, nobody who is in business will envy or hate anybody who is rich. Because when you go into business, you want to make money. And if you want to be like like them, you can't be their enemy. You have to admire them. They have worked hard. They have reached a level where you think, and they're helping. If they are paying taxes, they are paying higher taxes than other people. So we have to applaud business people, okay? But in terms of the quality of life, I just think that when you know the quality of life involves individuals, the services we give to people, okay? I think the best way to explain the quality of life is by comparison. If somebody is in a third world country, they don't have ambulance services. They don't have the police work the way they do here, okay? They don't have the health services, the education. And this is for individuals. So that is totally different from the standard of life that a rich person would live as compared to an ordinary man. But the ordinary man living in a country where the quality of life is important to everybody, they also have their basic necessities. They are satisfied with the necessities, with the services that they are offered. And that's what I mean by improving the quality of life for all Edmontonians. That is without discriminating whether this person comes from that country or that country. Mm-hmm. Or if I may tie this to, to racial and discrimination of all sorts, where we have people with women with hijabs being attacked. I want to make this clear. I come from a country, I can say I'm fortunate. I come from a country where Muslims and Christians get along. And therefore, everywhere there's a Sierra Leonean in the world, we say the Our Father when we gather and we say the Al-Fatiha. When I finished high school in 1972, I went to teach in an Islamic school. That is how tolerant we are. And that is an example for us to live, okay? But somebody who is probably either based on ignorance would attack somebody wearing a hijab. Maybe she's a doctor. Maybe she's a nurse. You might need her one day. You don't know. So that's why we have to be not just tolerant, but accommodate other people and recognize them for who they are so that we all live in peace and harmony.
And building off of that, what are your plans to help homeless people or other marginalized people within Edmonton?
Okay, that's a very good question. Now, before you get into some things, you see the issues from outside. So as soon as I made up my mind, I said that I will support or continue the works of Don Iverson in terms of homelessness. I do support what he did, although some things could have been done better. In other words, he may not have been entirely responsible for building the arena downtown. I think the previous mayor, whom I know also very well, I think there was a mistake in the location of Rogers Place. I'm not saying it is bad, but I think it displaced the homeless. That has exacerbated the problem of the homeless. And in the winter, the city spent an awful lot of money housing the homeless in either the Agricom or what do you call it? Yeah, the Agricom or the, Shaw Conference Center. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you separate the homeless from the services that they need, that created a lot of problems. So in terms of helping the homeless, I believe that we have to understand why somebody becomes homeless. And each of them has their own reasons. Some may be drug addictions. Others may be mental problems. Others may be family breakdowns. Some men are not able to cope if their family is broken, within a very short time. They can't handle it. So if we understand the problems of each of the homeless, then we can apply the appropriate measures. If it is addictions, we have ADAC and other places to solve the problem. If it is mental problems, we have psychiatrists, we have doctors. If it's a family breakdown, we have social workers. So understanding the problem, but the most important of all, we do have organizations that have been serving the homeless for more than 40 years. I don't think those people were consulted when the arena was being built. Had there been consultations with the people that rendered the services to the homeless, I think the problem would have been much, much easier to solve instead of making the situation worse for homeless people.
Yeah, and what are your plans to work toward reconciliation and make sure that our Indigenous partners receive the respect and inclusivity that they deserve?
I really believe, in spite of my background as a Christian, being a Christian, we should be very, very, we should feel for other people, okay? God is for everybody. We are created by the same creator. Whether you believe in God or you believe in nature, we are breathing the same air. And it doesn't matter whether somebody lives in a 40-bedroom mansion or somebody struggling with their payment for a one-bedroom. classroom. So I believe that we should be really, really, we should care. We should be our brother's keepers. That means we should look after the people who cannot care for themselves, not just the homeless, but the indigenous, who are the caretakers of this land. And by virtue of the fact that they have always respected nature, if we follow their footsteps, you see, technology has created plastic. Plastic has become one of the biggest problems for mankind in the oceans. We are polluting our oceans and our rivers. But if we had followed the advice of the indigenous people and respect their values, maybe things wouldn't have gotten this far. So, I mean, I would say I feel bad and I really support anybody who is rooting for the indigenous people, because we are all one. We shouldn't be thinking of people, having they or and then versus them or they that versus us. No, we are all one. Just as we want homeless people to have better lives, especially indigenous people, we should recognize their values and that we live here, it is their land that we came and we occupied, so we should look after them and care for their own. The past has not been good for them, but from now on, let us move on with better decisions for the indigenous people. And I firmly believe that their lives need to change.
Okay. And I just have one final question for you. Just in summary, what are the most important things that McEwen students should know about your platform and why they should vote for you?
Okay. If Canadian parents have entrusted me with their children for the past 32 years, I also have the belief that they should entrust me with my abilities as a teacher, to manage the city in conjunction with 12 other people, because I will not be making decisions on my own. We'll be doing, collaborative decision making, and then we'll listen to the people. But for me, I want people to know that I will listen to them until the last day of the election. Let them know that I will always be there to listen. If they elect me, and I want them to, not even if, I want them to elect me so that they will have a new leader, new ideas, and with a world perspective for our city. And I will be the face and the voice of Edmontonians. And I'm also fluently bilingual. So not only that, I'm learning some Chinese and some other languages. I can say hi in at least 10 languages, but it's not here I'm going to prove that. All I want Edmontonians to know is that I'm capable, and I'm looking forward to them voting for me because of what I am bringing to the table. Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time, Augustine. Thanks.
Okay, Maya, you have a great day.
We'd like to thank Maya for doing this interview, and we'd like to thank Augustine Marat for sharing his thoughts with us. And we hope that you stay tuned for our other interviews. To know more about what's coming up, please follow The Griff on social media or check us out at thegriff.ca.